Okay. So only theory today. I didn't even bring my laptop. Well, it's not too far. I can still bring it, but the plan is to only do theory. And basically, I want to tell you about tangles and metamonoids in algebraic, not theory. And basically, I want to tell you that, well, okay, not only we want invariants of knots, right? That's nice, we can separate them. In fact, we want invariants of tangles. And good invariants of tangles will also tell us lots of other things. Okay? And that's what I want to tell you about. So, first of all, let me define the set of tangles. Okay? So, and this is sort of, well, you'll see this definition will. So, I'm going to define a certain algebraic structure. So, it's not just a set, it's also lots of operations on it. Okay? So, T up U, U stands for usual, so these are usual tangles, and later we will also have V, RV, BV, and W for virtual, rotational virtual, braid-like virtual, and welded, or weakly virtual, so all sorts of other classes of tangles. But at the moment, I'm only defining T up U. T up U, it's really T up U of S, where S is some finite set. And what it is it's the collection of all tangles you can draw on a disk. So what's it in a disk? So what's a tangle in a disk? So it's just a bunch of, so it's a part of a knot. It's basically take a picture of a knot and enclose it by a disk, okay? So more or less, I'll make corrections in a minute. So basically it would have, strands. And the strands could be more complicated. I could have a strand starting, going around, and ending here. Okay? So things like this, where I have the following conditions. So the components, so basically each such strand is called a component. So, the strands or the components are oriented, and they are in a bijection with the elements of this set S. So, S is really a set of names for the components of the tangles. So, they could be, one, 2, 3, and 4, for example, but they don't have to be numeric. No closed components. So I do not allow components like this. This is cannot exist in my tangles. Okay. By the way, even though I'm not allowing closed components, I still claim that this includes knot theory, because knots can be written as long knots. Okay, you can always write knots as knotting of a line instead of a knotting of a circle. That still includes knot theory. I should say, it depends up to what, right? So mod out by planar motions, but also by Rademeister 1, 2, and 3 as usual, okay? And the last point is that there should be a base point. So there is a base point, somewhere along this disk, and I'm a little bit more restricted than I will be later on. So, so for example, this point will not be not in the case, or basically in all other cases. So not in the case of virtual, rotational virtual, braid-like virtual, and W that we will talk about later on, okay? So these are somehow better behaved, even though they're a bit less intuitive. Okay. Okay, but the point is that this is an algebraic structure, and I want to tell you about this algebraic structure. So there are operations. And the first operation is, so, well, I'll call it the disjoint union operation. And if you have a tangling of S1 strands and also a tangling of S2 strands, where S1 and S2 are two sets, you can get a tangling of S1 union S2 strands, provided S1 is disjoint from S2, by simply putting the two tangles. So if you have, basically, if you have one tangle and another tangle, you can get a tangle with more components by simply putting them side by side. And in fact, this is the only place where the base point is necessary. Okay? So otherwise, you wouldn't know how to put them side by side, which side, which one sits where. Okay? So with the base point, really, a tangling becomes a tangling along a line. So a tangled, once it's a base point, it's more convenient to write it along a disk, in a disk, but it's really a tangling in an upper half plane. So one tangle might be this one, and then if you take its disjoint union with another tangle that looks like, I don't know, like that, then the result will be, you just put the two of them along the same long line. So one is this, and the other is that. Okay? And copy the labels, so the sets of labels must be disjoint. Okay. The second operation is the stitching operation. So M, X, Y, Z. And maybe I'll first draw what it does and then turn it into formalities. So so basically, if you have a tangling of, you know, maybe I should just do it schematically. So suppose you have a tangle T, and is this okay?
I'm just wondering what happens to the base point in the first operation.
Oh, the base point is at the point at infinity.
Okay.
It's where you cut open. So I kind of implicitly told you. Okay. And this operation, strictly speaking, is not commutative. Okay. I mean, there is. Okay. Okay. Then there is the stitching operation. So I'll write it schematically. Suppose you have a tangle T, and it has a component X and a component Y. Then you can stitch the two components together. So I wrote them as lines, but these lines really could have been very curved, okay? But they reach the boundary. All lines reach the boundary. I don't have closed components. So the stitching operation would be to stitch the head of X to the tail of Y and call the result, so now it's no longer called X and Y, but call the result, now it's a single strand, called Z. Okay? So, formally, this stitch also, so this is called MXY sub Z, and if you want, I often call it stitching, and it formally, it's an operation from the tanglings of a set S which contains two, or a set X to which you adjoin two elements X and Y. So S is the set of components that appear in the rest, and X and Y are the two that I work with. So here, by writing this, I always, so you know what, when I write dot inside a union sign, it means it's a disjoint union. So by writing this, I am implicitly saying the condition X and Y are not members of S. So it's an operation with values in the tanglings of S disjoint union Z. Okay? And strictly speaking, this operation is defined, and I've already explained it, provided X, Y, and Z are not members of S. Okay? But strictly speaking, then there is an additional condition. And, let's introduce notation. So, each strand has a head and a tail on the boundary. So, strand number one, let me denote its head by 1 minus, and its tail by 1 minus, and its head by 1 plus. Strand number 4, I'll denote its tail by 4 minus, and its head by 4 plus, and so on. Okay? So, this is provided X plus is adjacent to y minus, so provided the head of x is near the tail of y on the boundary of the tangle. Okay, you see, if they were separated by something, you wouldn't know how to go around that something. Okay, so they must be adjacent. So this is awful, right? This is awful because it means that this is no longer an algebraic structure. Namely, the stitching operation is partially defined. Okay, it's not fully defined. It's not like when you say a group law. The group law is always defined. Okay? So there are two ways to solve the issue. So one way is, and I'll do it in parentheses because I will employ neither way at the moment. I'll just sort of ignore it. I'll just pretend it doesn't bother me. Okay? So it's better, instead of talking about tangling of just a set of things, it's really better to talk about, it's better to talk about tangling of a set of strands S along with a list F, which I will standing for frontier, where F is an ordering of the ins and outs of S. So in other words, it's an ordering of S cross the two element set plus or minus. So that's it. So if S had n elements, this has 2n elements, and F is some ordering of that set. Okay? And then T of S and F will be those tangles that respect that ordering. Okay, whose ends are according to that order. And then the stitching operations are defined from on such TSFs, provided F satisfies the right condition, and then it's globally defined. It's sort of So when you talk about a vector, an algebraic structure, it's fair to say that you can only multiply vectors by scalars, but not vectors by vectors. So it's fair to have partially defined it's not really partially defined multiplication. It's for different types of elements, you have different operations. So basically, these would be the types that are characterized by S and a frontier. And then once you know S and the frontier, all the operations are fully defined. So I'll just ignore it. I mean, I'll pretend this issue doesn't arise. So anyway, that's one resolution. And the other resolution is to comment that in all other cases, so in the less intuitive cases of V, RV, BV, W, the issue doesn't arise. Issue is does not arise. There's no issue. So I will kind of a little bit be imprecise, but it's again a minor thing. Okay, then there are I want to talk about two further operations, which are kind of silly, but I still need to name them. So operation three is eta x, and it stands for strand deletion, and it's an operation from the tanglings of S, union, disjoint union, an element x to the tanglings of S. And all that it does is you take the strand label x and you remove it from the story. Okay, it's a silly operation. And an operation number four is sigma xy, and it's just a strand renaming. So it's an operation from tanglings of S union X into the same thing with Y. Okay? So basically, all you do is you take the strand labeled X and you rename it Y. Okay? So these are kind of silly, and they can be stated by other means, but that's not the... It's not too interesting. Okay. So, comments. So, already with these operations, so with these ops, the tangling of, or this collection tangles along with these operations is finitely generated, and in fact finitely presented, though even saying what finitely presented means takes a little bit more effort. So let me explain. So first of all, why is it finitely generated? So there are two generators, namely the overcrossing labeled X, and X and Y, and the undercrossing labeled and the undercrossing labeled X and Y. And I claim that with these operations you can do what you can construct anything you want from these generators. Proof. So suppose I wanted to construct something complicated. Well, I'll take many copies of these generators. So I'll take 1, 2, 3 copies. Well, the copies are all labeled X, Y, so first I will rename the strands. So this will be 1 and 2, this will be 3 and 4, this will be 5 and 6, and so on. Then I will take their disjoint union, so I'll just, which just means I'll put them all in the same plane, essentially. Then I will stitch using the stitching operations. So basically I will tell you connect 1 to 5, connect 4 to 6, connect 2 to 4, while renaming as appropriate. And at the end, I can clearly get whatever I want. So that's why it's finitely generated. Now, finite, to say that something, yes?
Do you ever need to delete?
No.
In this object? Okay.
No. So deletion is just superfluous for this. To say that something is finitely presented is actually a bit more complicated, because to say that something is finitely presented, you need to know what are the axioms of the algebraic structure. Okay? So, you know, when you say that a group is generated by X, Y, and Z, when you say that it's the relations are such and such, you don't write the relations that are automatically implied by associativity. So it's premature to say that it's finitely presented, because I didn't yet tell you what are the axioms of this algebraic structure. Anyway, I will tell you that once the axioms are in place, it will be clear that it's finitely presented, because the three Rademeister moves, Rademeister 1, Rademeister 2, Rademeister 3, can be written as simple-minded products of the two generators, or products using these operations. So once I tell you what are the sort of relations of the structure, then the relations between the generators will become are clearly finite. They're just the Rademeister moves. Okay. Sorry if this was a bit strange. Anyway. Well, now I need to tell you what are the axioms of the structure. By my rules, I first take a picture. Sorry if this slows down things. Okay. So, axioms or, you know, at the moment these are not really axioms but properties, but these properties will be lifted to become axioms in a minute. So, you know, associativity is a property of matrices, but it's an axiom for groups. So I didn't yet tell you what to call this structure, so these are not yet axioms. But anyway, so let's call it properties so far. And I'm saying so far because these are not yet even the whole full set of operations. So there are many interesting axioms or properties which basically say that far things are independent. Okay? Basically, if you change X to Y and change U to V, change names, the name of X to Y and the name of U to V, well, these two name change operations commute. Okay? There's also a silly composition. So if you change X to Y and then Y to Z, it's the same as changing X to Z. Deleting a strand and then, sorry, renaming and then deleting is same as deleting before renaming. applying the stitching operation, calling the result z, and then renaming z to u is the same as calling the result u to start with. Taking the disjoint union and then renaming one of the strands in S1 is like first renaming one of the strands in S1 and then taking the disjoint union. Blah, 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 blah. All of these are not interesting. There is only one property that in practice takes some effort to check, and this is the meta-associativity. So what's meta-associativity? So first of all, let me explain what it is in tangles, and then I'll write it using this, the language. So basically, if you have a tangle with three components, x, y, and z, well, you can stitch x to y, and then stitch y to z, and overall, you got a long component going this way. Okay? Or you could stitch y to z and then stitch x to the result. And again, you got a long component going all through. So that's the axiom. In practice, this is the only axiom that needs checking ever. Well, in practice. So let me write it. So really, stitching x to y, calling the result with a temporary name, let me call it u, and then, so I think I already used this notation. So double slash means composition from left to right. By the way, in Mathematica, I borrowed it from Mathematica. It's a notation that's allowed in Mathematica and it's very useful. So basically, you know, to be funny, double slash is equal to circle op. Okay? So, stitching x to y, calling the result u, and then stitching u to z, calling the result v, so overall I call the whole thing v, is the same as stitching y to z, calling the result u, followed by stitching x to u, calling the result v. Okay? And the reason I'm calling this meta-associativity is because it's a bit like the associativity of multiplication. However, it's not associativity. It's an equality of unary operation, not of unary operations, not of binary operations. Right? So x and y live inside one single tangle. It doesn't make sense to think of them independently. They're knotted with each other. You cannot isolate them. So it's an equality of unary operations that looks a little bit like associativity, hence the name. Okay, so now, definition. So any algebraic structure, any collection of things that has these properties is called a metamonoid. So what is a collection of things having this property? So for every finite set, you have to have M of S, some set of objects. What, right? In our case, these were tangles. And then you have operations as on the right. So disjoint union, M, eta, and sigma, defined in exactly the same places as, so under the same conditions, okay? And also satisfying the same axioms. So any such thing is a metamonoid. Okay? So in particular, let me give you a wrong example. So a non-example. So the the first non-example is TU. So TU is not a metamonoid because of this silly thing of being only partially defined. These operations are only partially defined. And if you want them to be fully defined, then the objects need to also be dependent order or on an ordering of the frontier, so that's not the same collection of objects. So that's not an example, but it's an almost example. Okay? And the cases I will study later, so V, R, V, B, V, and W, will be examples. Okay? So having given you one non-example, let me give you a few genuine examples. So examples. If G is a group, if G is a group, any group whatsoever, then S goes to G to the S is a metamonoid. Okay? So basically, what's G to the S? It's like having, so the thing you should have in mind is like a picture where you have, I don't know, lines, one for each element of S, and G to the S just means functions from S to G. So it really means that on each such line, you have an element of the group. So you have G1, G2, G3, G5, right? The set S doesn't have to be consecutive elements, right? So G to the S, you should be thinking of it as things that look like this. And then disjoint union clearly makes sense. You just put two such things side by side. Stitching is the same sort of, you think of it in the same way. So you connect two things, but this just means multiply the two elements. So if you read G1 and then you read G2, instead you read the product. It's clearly meta-associative. Deletion is clearly makes sense, and renaming clearly makes sense. Okay? So, I don't know if I should go through the imagery that I have in mind. So, basically, you know, the word quantum groups, the word quantum group is already taken, but if it wasn't already taken, this would be a better candidate then maybe a metamonoid should have been called a quantum group. Because basically, these are group elements along, but they're sort of allowed to be entangled. So you can do operations to the collection of group elements, but you cannot sort of individually look at each one. In particular, you cannot clone a group element. I do not have an operation. Sorry, I could not. I actually can clone later on. I could not clone the whole object. That's the thing that I cannot do. It never is needed to clone a whole object. Okay? But anyway, forget it. By the way, likewise, if M is a monoid, I didn't invert anywhere. So if M is a monoid, I could talk about M to the S. Okay, so that's a first example. Likewise, two. So if A is a unital algebra, then S goes to A to the tensor S is a metamonoid, okay? And the imagery is exactly the same, and the operations are exactly the same, and the point is that the invariance that we talk about on Friday, or the Friday invariants, are really morphisms from the, or again, since this is not a metamoenoid, it doesn't quite make sense to say that there are morphisms, but there are morphisms when defined from this metamoenoid to the metamoenoid A tensor to the S. So basically, if you have two strands and you stitch them, it corresponds to multiplication in the algebra. That's exactly how I've defined these invariants. Okay? So in fact, I will care very much about morphisms of metamoenoids. These will be my invariants. Okay. So far you can say that all examples are boring. So here is an example, or you know, more precisely, all examples are somehow powers of a single thing. Okay? So in some sense it's not too interesting. In fact, T up U is not powers of a single thing, but it's also not an example. So here is the first example that's not powers of something. So basically S goes to matrices of size S by S with entries in whatever you want, I don't know, Z. Okay? So what are these things? So these are S by S matrices whose rows and columns are labeled. Instead of just being ordered, they're labeled by the elements of S. Okay? But now I have to tell you what are the operations. So the disjoint union operation will take the matrix A and the matrix B to the block diagonal direct sum of the matrices labeled in the obvious way, so if A had labels in some set and B has labels in some set, you can just put these labels here. And remember that disjoint union is defined only when the sets of labels are disjoint. So here I will have a disjoint collection of labels and a disjoint collection of labels. Each label appearing once. Okay. So that's one. MXYZ will be, it should be an operation that takes a matrix that has a row labeled X and a row labeled Y, but also, since I'm using the same labels for the rows and the columns, a column labeled X and a column labeled Y, and produces a matrix that has just one row labeled Z and one column labeled Z. So the operation will be add the corresponding rows and add the corresponding columns and rename. So add row X and Y, add column X and Y, and rename the resulting row and column to be Z. Okay? And you can check that this is meta-associative. Okay? Finally, eta and sigma are the obvious. So sigma is you just rename a row and a column, and eta is you delete a row and a column. So basically, act on rows and columns simultaneously. Okay? Why is it relevant for us? So there is actually a morphism of metamoenoids from TU into this one. So there is a morphism from TU of S to MS cross S as follows. So let me call this L, and I need to, and suppose you have an element T here. So L of T, so L of T should be an S by S matrix. So I should tell you what are the X, what's the XY entry of L of T. And the XY entry will be the so-called linking number of strands X and Y. So perhaps we should have talked about it earlier, but there is this sort of most trivial invariance of several component things, and this is how many times one crosses over the other. Okay, so to be precise, this is the sum over all crossings. Oy, usually I use the letter X for crossings, but now I cannot. So let's call it crossings C between component X and Y of minus 1 to the crossing. Okay? Yeah, I guess it's fine. So I it's strictly so, okay. I have an issue with the crossings of a component with itself, so with the entries on the diagonal. So this is not invariant under. So it's clearly invariant under Rademeister 2 and Rademeister 3. Basically, Rademeister 2 cancels a pair of crossings with opposite signs. Rademeister 3 doesn't even change the set of crossings. It just moves them around, so the sum doesn't change. Rademeister 1 is affected only if you consider crossings of things with themselves, okay? So the linking number of a strand with itself. So then there are two resolutions. Either you declare that on the diagonal you have zero and you just brute force and force it, or you know, matrices without diagonal. You just ignore whatever happens on the diagonal. That's kind of ugly. Or you switch to framed tangles. So framed tangles, one way to say it is to say you do not mod out by Rademeister 1, and but you replace it by something else. Do I want to say it? I guess I do. It's just 1 minute. So so what would framed object means, so what's TUF? So it's basically so the same kind of tangles as before. You know what, let me not draw the circle, but just draw so here is a tangle, but with the extra provision that each component has a shadow, a tiny bit, a shadow which is each component at any given point has a normal vector, which really means that the component has a shadow. So each component has sort of a shadow tracing along it, and the normal vector should be to be tiny. Modulo, you are allowed to rotate. So really it's a, well, if you want, it's a section of the normal bundle to that component, okay? So each component has such a shadow, and with the additional provision that at the boundary, the normal always points to the right, so that you can compose. Otherwise, it compose. Otherwise, it doesn't. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how to compose. Okay, but inside it doesn't have to point to the right. Okay, and then on the diagonal, instead of taking the linking number of a component with another, you will take the linking number of a component with its own framing. Okay. Alternatively, you could always take the linking number of component X with the framing of Y, and that's the same. Okay. And the point is that this does not satisfy Rademeister 1. So a framed component is really a band, right? So one side, say the side with the black marking, is the original, and the other side is the head of the frames. And you can check that sort of if you take, well, if it's a bit hard to do it with this belt because it's too rigid. But basically, if you take the kind of obvious Rademeister one thing and then pull it, you find that the framing spins around the knot. So a different way to say this is to say that this is whatever is generated by the overcrossing and the undercrossing, but modulo Rademeister 2, Rademeister 3, and instead of Rademeister 1, there is a kind of funny relation which goes like this. So a framing, a positive framing to the right cancels a positive framing, a negative framing to the left, or something like that. So yes, so this can be cancelled. So a pair of Rademeister moves can be cancelled, but not an individual one. Okay. I want to give one more example, and the last example is the loveliest one. I'll do it after the break, but I will start it now. So I only want to say sort of, okay, so pi s will be essentially the set of groups. That's basically the set of groups. So basically group theory is a metamonoid, but not quite precisely. So really pi of s is a triple. So G, M, and L, where G is an arbitrary group. You can restrict your attention to finitely presented groups if you wish, but you don't have to. So G is an arbitrary group, and M and L are lists of elements in that group. So both M and L are inside G to the power S. But the operations will not only play with the lists, they will also play with the group. So, I mean, it's not just, this is not it's not related to this. Okay, it's much more sophisticated. And it's also definitely not a product, not a power of something object. So I will take a break and then talk about this. Okay?